Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, I always like it when I got somebody brand spanking new across the Straight Talk table, especially one person I would describe as a live wire, and he is. His name is Jose Luis. He's with the Lancaster County Council. A job you've had for how long now?
It's my first term, so 3 years in.
And you already created all this ruckus.
Yep. Came in like a wrecking ball, me and Miley Cyrus.
All right, Jose, we always like to get our guests to tell us a little bit about themselves before we get started into the topic. So go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Good afternoon. It's great to be here. So my name is Jose Luis. I have been on county council, like I said, for about 3 years. And I grew up in South Florida, in Miami. I'm the youngest of seven kids. My parents were Cuban immigrants. My dad actually fought in the Bay of Pigs. So really instilled in us the value and importance of freedom. And so we moved up to Charlotte, my wife and I, in 2006, and lived in Indian Land now since December of 2006, and have loved it ever since.
Well, we could do a whole show and maybe a couple of shows just on the Bay of Pigs.
Oh, I would absolutely love to talk about that. My brother actually set up a Bay of Pigs museum down in Miami.
Jeez. And you know, this is called a sidebar, has nothing to do with today. But we're sitting here on the eve of the 250th anniversary of this country. And we have a country that's very divided in how we think. And I can't believe the polls that show how split we are on this whole concept of freedom. Like it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But when you talk to somebody who has a heritage like you, you've been there. Your family has lived it. They know what to lose freedom is all about.
Yeah. I remember my dad talking to me when we were little. And saying how kind of it all progressed in Cuba, and starting with schools, starting with, you know, the universities and the whole same system. And I remember I would talk to him and be like, no, that's never going to happen here. You know, we have, you know, checks and balances. We have the three branches of government. And I remember he laughed and he goes, guess what we had in Cuba? Guess what our constitution was inspired by? And it was the U.S. Constitution. And so if you don't follow kind of the rules and you're not being intentional about what you're doing and passionate about what you're doing, all those systems could fall apart if you're not really doing what's intended.
I remember years ago when my friend Charlie Ruffalo and I took a Tiger cruise courtesy of the U.S. Navy, and we came home on the USS Abraham Lincoln from Pearl Harbor, Hawaii to San Diego, California. We got to meet and talk to a bunch of sailors. And one of them was a Cuban refugee who happened to be the chief now. He worked himself up the ranks. And he told the story about his mother and father giving him $20. They lashed together four or five rubber tires and told him go. Because there's nothing here for you except hardship.
Yeah.
I mean, and you hear and what he went through to get to this country.
I mean, you think about decades ago, the whole story of Elian Gonzalez. I don't know if you remember that one. But, I mean, this Cuban that was on a raft with his parents. Basically, everyone else perished on the raft on their way to the United States. And this kid, you know, went through this whole immigration thing that, you know, getting deported, like the whole thing. His family here in the United States wanted to keep him here. The Clinton administration was sending him back because the Cuban government was requiring that. And what got lost in all of that noise to me was the fact that here is a mother bringing her 6-year-old, 5-year-old at the time through 90 miles of shark-infested waters. Mm. How bad does it have to be that when a mother is looking at the choices before her, that becomes the better option?
Good point. Good point. Well, As I say, I could digress very quickly.
And yep, I could go down a rabbit hole.
We could kiss this show's topic goodbye. But let's get back to what you're really doing. So you're on Lancaster County Council, your first term. Yep. You got one more year. Have you thought whether you're going to run for re-election?
I am in my last year of my first term, and I have decided to run for re-election. I've gone through the primary. We didn't have a challenger. I don't have a Democratic challenger, so
you're in.
So the odds are in my favor.
All right. Well, so what caused you to? First of all, I mean, what do you do professionally?
So I am a COO for a local nonprofit.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. So you decide to get into politics, but what pushed you to do that?
So I was called out. Involved in local politics. And when we had the census and they redrew the council district maps, I was going around trying to find somebody to run for the seat for my district. And everyone would give me the, I can't, you know, I got my family, I got my job, I got work, you know, I don't have the time. And finally, someone goes, well, why don't you do it? And I was like, well, I can. I have my wife. And then they were like, well, so they called me out. And I was like, if I'm willing to ask somebody to do it, I should be willing to do it myself. And so that's what I did.
Has it been more than you thought it would be?
It has been.
Multiples.
It has been all of the above. It has been a lot more time than I anticipated that it would take, but I feel like it's important that I read all the materials and I'm prepared for every meeting. We just had our budget meeting, and I had gone through all the line items and highlighted every single item that I had a question about. Maybe a lot of folks didn't appreciate that, but I think my constituents did.
Well, it does take a lot of time, and somebody who's going to get into local politics needs to realize you're taking on another job, a job that doesn't pay you what the time is that you're putting into it is worth, but that's the way it is. Okay.
But it's the passion that you have,
that's
and
right.
It's the honor and the privilege that I feel that the constituents have bestowed upon me to do something that is focused on the community, and that you need to have somebody that has that as their primary focus. That's why we're in there. We're working for the people, and we need to remember that. And I think going back to what my dad was talking about, when you lose that connection, that's when you lose everything and everything falls apart.
Sure. So going from the private sector to the public sector, has that been an eye-opener for you?
The whole thing has been an eye-opener for me. I mean, just going in. So the first thing, I'll quote my old friend Vanilla Ice. There was a lot of stop, collaborate, and listen. But there's different metrics that you use. I think the way that government functions and how they look at things is from a very different lens from the private sector and even the nonprofit sector. And so when you consider who you're working for and who your boss is, it is very different from a private sector job. Like, everything that we do should be focused on our constituents.
Mm. Okay, so here we are. You mentioned that terrible six-letter word called budget. And
it's a great word. I love
it. Great word. I understand that you were kind of a lone holdout, as it were, on the budget. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So it was 6-1, and you were the one.
I was the one.
And
I was the one.
You're the one. Okay.
I'm still the one.
You're still the one. Okay. So what were your concern about the budget?
So I think, as I mentioned, like, I went through all the line items, and I think I had a lot of concerns as we were going through the questions about getting the amount of detail and clarity as to why certain budget numbers were the way that they were. And as you know, when you're looking at those numbers and you're planning for your budgets, every single amount is going to be an amount that you're going to be taxing your constituents if you don't have a balanced budget, if you're not meeting the current millage rates and you're not doing that. And for me, I understand even if we have some overages and we can hold it in reserve funds and things like that, but you're still taking money from the constituents. And at a time where I feel people are struggling, I'd rather keep the money in people's pockets. And I'd rather not the county picking and taking money from the constituents' pocketbooks.
your budget, and I don't know very much about it, but you did add some more employees, correct?
We added a few more employees.
Okay.
Yep.
Did you have a millage increase?
We had a one millage increase.
Okay. So if you were able, that's a big if, to sway the other six to come to your side, what would the arguments have been? Because I'm sure what they're saying is everything is costing more, and for us to provide the same services, we got to have a little more money coming in.
Well, if everyone looked at the budget and looked at every line item, I think there were a lot of line items that exceeded the current actuals that were being spent. And I think if you looked at the budget and you compared it to where the budget was last year compared to your actuals, I think a lot of times folks will use last year's budget as a baseline for future budget instead of looking at your actuals. And I think once, from my experience, you look at your actuals, you look at your trend lines, and that's what you use as a basis for establishing your future year budgets.
So how do they justify that? I mean, if the actual was, 80% of what the budget request was, how do they justify that extra 20%?
So it just depends on their expectations. That was one of the questions that I asked was, how are you looking for example, Parks and Rec? There was a significant increase in staff budget for wages and salaries. And there's not a lot of detail going into what the expectations are. And so I think they're just putting in some budget number that's kind of, I can't do the, how would you call that? People can't see it on the radio, but
put your finger in the air with see yep. which way the wind's blowing.
Yep. And that's kind of how you do it. But one of the questions that I was pushing back on is, so what are the expectations? What's a reasonable number? We know that you can't get exactly what your number is, but let's look at a reasonable number.
And the county management team didn't come back with a specific recommendation?
I did not have that. So the first two budget readings, I think a lot of council members were asking for more detail.
Right.
And then the last reading was when we got the final kind of budget that looked fairly solid where you can read the numbers and go through it. And I still had a lot of questions. And so if I don't have clarity on what those budget numbers are, I just can't approve it, especially when we're going through and asking our constituents to pay a little more. And one of the things that I think is really important when we talk about budgets and millage rate increases, those millage rate increases are going in through property taxes. So they impact everyone.
Oh, yeah.
And when you talk about people that are renting and tenants, you're still paying for those because a lot of times the landlords who get paid more than actual or who have to pay more in property taxes than actual resident-owned properties, those costs for property taxes are just being pushed back onto the tenants. And so even if you're a tenant, you're still paying for those increases. Your rent could go up as a result of those property taxes.
Oh, they will go up. No question about that. Because the landlord is not going to eat it.
Depends on the landlords. I mean, some landlords are maybe, but for the most part, I haven't seen landlords that do that typically.
All right. So as you look at what you have had to swallow, this new budget, besides adding some more people to Parks and Recreation, what are some of the things that, I guess, excites you or you can get behind?
So I think a lot of things that excite me are the things that the sheriff's office is doing. We're building a new detention center, so a lot of the new staffing that was coming in was to staff that new detention center.
Yeah.
It's a great facility. They're doing great work. The sheriff and his team provide a fundamental service that I think the county should provide.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the core functions of a governmental agency, is provide that public safety, all of
sure.
those things. So supporting that was great. EMS and going through a new schedule that they're looking at is a great way to do that. Our coroner does a great job at managing her budget and ensuring that we're providing the services to the constituents. So adding additional roles or additional people for her team was a great utilization for me of the county budget. And then our firefighters. As you know, the growth in Indian Land has been tremendous. So adding those additional facilities, getting that set up for stuff that should have been done years ago, and finally getting that on the budget and starting to look at that, is a great element to our budget that I think I can fully support. And I did.
Yeah. So if I were sitting on the county council, and thank God I'm not, for your sake.
Oh, no, I'd love to have you on council.
I mean, you really...
You could be the other wrecking ball.
Yeah, boom, boom. It would be tough to try and reconcile the fact that you have two totally different parts of Lancaster County. You have a very urbanized section up in Indian Land where you live, and then you have a very rural part with the southern part of the county.
Yeah.
And the needs, I mean, we have the same issue really here in your county. We have a very rural part, we have an urbanized part. And reconciling those two mindsets to a budget is a challenge.
It is, and I think that's where the comprehensive plan, I think that's where strategic planning comes in. I think as you're looking at where the needs are going to be and where the growth has already been approved, and planning for that strategically so that you can implement the appropriate levels of industry, your commercial, your residential, doing all of that appropriately.
Right.
Because counties need to grow. If you're not growing, you're dying.
That's right.
But the way to do it is you have to do smart growth, where everything is strategic, it is intentional, there's a reason why it's going there, and you can justify those reasons, and they make sense.
Until the exception comes before the county council, I have this project over here that requires a little bit of change from what our, you know, comprehensive plan says. And everybody says, okay, that's fine. And then all of a sudden, your comprehensive plan that you spent millions of dollars on ain't worth a damn.
Yeah, a lot of times when those developers come in, I start hearing Lady Marmalade playing in the background. and we can't do that.
But you do it.
I don't. We have to stick to a strategic plan. And if there is a reasonableness to those requests and they fit in with the strategic plan, then that's when you do those kind of exceptions, if it makes sense and it's part of the strategy and it's intentional. If you're not doing that, we shouldn't be approving stuff as exceptions.
All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax you with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. If we can get them to stop talking back there in the corner. All right. Fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it, the magic is in the white letters that we'll all pronounce together at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
The food, the number 19 is the best.
When I want lunch, I come to Substation 2 because I can't remember never not coming here.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Start your journey with a new auto loan. Get on the road with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. From city streets to off-road trails, your journey begins here. Our competitive rates can get you on the road in a ride that fits your lifestyle and budget, with no payments for up to 90 days. You can apply for a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days before you start shopping. Visit one of our many convenient office locations or go to foundersfcu.com/auto to apply for an auto loan today. Membership qualification required. See webpage for details.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
More than 40 years ago, Piedmont Medical Center opened with a promise to provide compassionate, high-quality care. This year, we step forward as Piedmont Medical Network. Two hospitals, four emergency departments, and hundreds of dedicated physicians evolving to care for you today and for generations to come. As we grow and expand, one thing remains the same: our commitment to caring for our neighbors. We are Piedmont Medical Network. Find a doctor at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com/about.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
The hot meatball subs with jalapenos.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Jose Luis is with us. He is a member of the Lancaster County Council. He resides in the Indianland area, and I gather your district kind of works its way on down to the city of Lancaster?
No, not it does not. Far. So it literally is the panhandle. So the most dense residential area of the county.
Wow. And it wasn't too long ago when all you people up there in Indianland said, we need to incorporate because we're not getting enough from Lancaster County. So we'll just have, we'll have our own little fiefdom. Well, yeah. That didn't work out, did it?
It did not. It did not. And I was not in favor of that incorporation, specifically because I didn't want another layer of taxation. And there was no plan. It just did not make sense.
Yeah. So it failed. All right, so everybody in this region of the country, I think everybody in the state of South Carolina, is reeling from this thing called growth. When I came here 40-some years ago, our population was right around 3 million. We're now at 5.5 million, projected to have another million in whatever it is, 15 years or something like that. When you take a look at Indianland, there's a perfect example of what growth. I mean, it wasn't too many years ago, there was nothing but trees.
Yep.
And now it's just all buildings.
Yep.
And traffic. So, I just had to bring it up.
You did. You had to go there.
I just had to go there. What is it? What's going on in the minds of people in Lancaster County who keep turning down a penny referendum to do something with roads? I mean, we've been very successful right here. And I understand the hesitancy when we started out. For 20 years, 30 years into this program, we've got $1 billion worth of roads we never would have had if we hadn't had that penny.
Yeah. So first of all, you remember that REM song, Everybody Hurts? Starts out with people just sitting in traffic.
I gather you
everybody
like,
feeling
you like
the pain.
Music,
I love music.
Yeah, okay.
I have a jukebox that's constantly playing in my head. There's a song for everything. But I think that's a test case to see if that video was really accurate and whether everybody hurts. But I think part of the problem that has happened is the constituents, and I've told this to staff and I've told this to the other council members, I think there's a lack of trust between the constituents and what the local jurisdictions are going to do with their tax money and whether the things that we're talking about are really going to be accomplished. And I think the challenge with roads in particular is a chicken or egg concept, right? So you can talk about potentials of this is what we're planning, but you can't really do any solid planning or any plans that are showing drawings or depictions until you get something approved.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. Whoa. I hear. Which comes first, the chicken or the egg? I got it. I mean, that's the same type of thing. To get the money, you have to designate what roads are going to be done.
You designate the roads that are going to be done.
Right.
And we did that.
Yeah.
We talked about that. But what exactly is going to be done on those roads? How wide is it going to be? What is the impact that we're going to have? So that's a lot of questions that the constituents in my area were asking about those. Because I wanted specifically Harrisburg Road, Barberville Road, I think 521. All of those need significant improvement. And I voted for those referendums.
Yeah.
I supported it because I think we needed that relief. So there was that question about what exactly is going to happen with the funds that are being raised. And then the secondary question that a lot of people would ask is, are a lot of these state roads, should the state be funding these improvements?
Well, and no kidding. The state should have been doing this all along.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that ship has sailed.
That's what started Pennies for Progress here.
Yeah.
When a former council chairman by the name of Carl Gullick went before Rotary Clubs and what have you and said, look, this is what the state of South Carolina has planned for us for the next 10 years. This is back in 1996. And it was like one little line. He said, if we do a penny, put an overlay on there, look what we could do, boo, 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 boo.
Right.
I mean, you got the same issue.
And we do. And the funding that we get, so most of our funding comes from the state gas tax, which we only get 4 cents out of everything that's getting done from the state. So we probably get about 2 to 4 million max from those gas taxes. There's the driver fees that we get. That's probably another 3 to 4 million. We have over 1,400 miles of roads in Lancaster County. And a significant portion of those are state roads. Even the roads that we have, you're not going to maintain, because even a mile of road to do a basic repaving is probably $500,000. So once you start doing them out,
$800,000 now. Well, one road of repaving.
Well, I'm talking about a two-lane road and just repaving without any of the. So all that significant work, you're not going to get any of that done with what we're doing. So that's where we thought the referendum would really support that.
Okay, so if I was standing before the people in Lancaster County, which again, you'd be thankful I'm not, I would say, listen, you're going to have a little faith to figure out, what is a penny? A penny means nothing to most people. I mean, it's so insignificant that our country is doing away with it, right?
Yep.
But that one little penny multiplied by the numbers of transactions is significant. And if you have a ballot that says we're going to do X, Y, and Z, and you don't do it at the end of 7 years, shame on you. But somebody's got to start somewhere.
And I agree, and I think a lot of the arguments were it's based off the sales tax. Lancaster County was going to have one of the highest sales taxes in the state. I know that there were a lot of people on social media posting about the amount of sales taxes that we would have compared to other even states in the union. And we'd be comparable to like New York City and places like that. The argument that I had is a lot of those funds, first of all, a lot of the people that are using the roads in Lancaster County are coming from North Carolina.
Right.
So they're not paying anything with the property taxes that are coming in. Right now, it's all Lancaster County residents.
So they're paying it when they buy gasoline.
If they buy the gasoline in the state. If they're buying it in North Carolina, they're not. But if you do the state, the tax referendum, then you're getting a significant portion of North Carolina residents that are also supporting the road improvements of roads that they are using, especially in the Indian Land area. When you look at some of those developments that have come up in the last couple of years, there's a huge tax revenue and a huge tax basis that can support that from people coming from North Carolina. But it wouldn't just be people from our county.
Exactly right. I mean, that's one of the things I love about the penny sales tax is we get a lot of people using the buying gas here, right?
If I want to tax somebody, I want to tax somebody outside of the county.
Yeah. Well, all right. So how do we get this thing off dead center? Because right now, you're losing the battle.
Yeah.
I mean, Charlotte's not going to get any smaller. Lancaster County is not going to get any smaller.
So I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier and just looking at smart strategic growth and looking at developments that are coming in. Right now, we still have thousands of residential units that are on the runway waiting to get built.
Oh, yeah.
That's not stuff that's even been built. We have had a moratorium, and there's still thousands of units that are on the runway.
That's right.
So I think the first thing is making sure that growth is already accounted for and that we have the plans for that. I think we have to start working with our local state representatives. Who's our state representative in the Indian Land area? I don't know. So as you're going through that.
That wasn't a little dig, was it?
No. I can't remember the last time I saw him.
We can't get him on the air either.
But, and there's that.
Okay.
That's all, folks.
You got about 10 seconds to wrap this up.
Yeah. So I think that's part of we have to work with our state partners, and I think there's people that we can work with to help us out.
Well, the bottom line, somebody's got to take that first step. Somebody's got to do it. And I would encourage the people in Lancaster County to do that. Okay. Jose, I've enjoyed this.
This has been awesome.
It's been wonderful. We will get you back again. I promise you that. You're on the top 10 list right now, buddy.
Am I the Letterman top 10 list?
That's right. And you don't have to bring the PIO guy next time, right? And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Once again, our great thanks to Piedmont Medical Network for making these broadcasts possible, a community built on care. Fresh subs and salads, we do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. And if you don't start chiming in here, John, I'm going to go to another damn vendor, all right? Are you ready? The count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
That's still not very good, John. You have to work on it. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.